Now, we're going to look at Psalm 121, and it's called a song of ascents. That means it was a song that a group sang together as they were journeying up to Jerusalem. So I thought it might be nice if we were all read it together. Is that all right? Can you read with me? Anyway, we'll see how it goes, yeah? I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Now, I just want to say a few things about this psalm. There's some special things about it. It's called a song of ascents. That means it's a song for going up. They sang it on the journey as they were looking forward in hope of meeting together with God at Jerusalem. That was the idea of the song. It is one they could sing together. Have you ever been on these sort of coach trips where everybody starts singing as they're travelling along? Well, that's the sort of thing that's going on there. And it was during one of those special feasts where everybody was invited by God to go up to Jerusalem to worship there. We've just had the Passover Easter time, and the next great pilgrim feast would be Pentecost. That's coming up in a few weeks' time. And if you remember from reading in Acts chapter 2, there were people from all over the known world who turned up in Jerusalem at the time when the Holy Spirit fell, and there was a great gathering in at that time. Well, in the psalm writer's day, it was the land of Israel where people travelled from north, south, wherever it was they were living, and they travelled together in groups to go up to Jerusalem. So as they were going in groups, there were family parties and so on, and they all sang their songs on the way, I suppose, to help them along. You remember Luke in his account of Jesus visiting Jerusalem. There was a whole group of them went up from Nazareth to visit them. That's just like that in the time when the psalm was being written. But the interesting thing also about the psalm is that the psalmist is, in a way, talking to himself. He's having a conversation of questions and answers. And of course it was written down eventually, so it became a communal song for the journey. So those are the backgrounds. It's a song for travelling along, looking forward, and a song that people sang together. So we'll look at a little bits of it as we go along now. So the first verses, or first line, is I lift up my eyes to the hill, to the mountains. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's a Hebrew expression that we wouldn't normally say I lift up my eyes, would we? We would say we look up, but that's the way the Hebrews say it. They lift up their eyes. And we read of that in John's Gospel when Jesus prayed in the upper room. He says he lifted up his eyes and prayed. So it's a Hebrew expression. Anyway, the mountains are around Jerusalem, especially Mount Moriah is the top one where the temple was built ultimately. It's on the Temple Mount. And it was going to be where Jesus eventually was going to be crucified. So they're journeying towards the mountains of Jerusalem because they know that's where God has set up his place for the people to meet. It's their, what we might call their point of focus. They're going to meet with God in the place that he's chosen. So they're looking up, and I think that's a good thought for all of us, isn't it? All of us can look up in every sense. We're looking up to where we're going, we're looking up to the Lord to whom we're going to visit and see. So he asks the question now, where does my help come from? Well, he knows he knows the answer, so it's a question, but it isn't. What he's saying is, I know where the help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Yep. But he's saying, where does my help come from? Don't we need help? Do you need help? I suspect we do. Help for all sorts of things. The good news is he knows where to get it. His help, where it comes from. His help comes from, let's have a look. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's the special name for God, Lord. It's those capital letters again. It stands for the word Yahweh. And it's the covenant relationship God, of word that, with God. So we have that. And he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, we've got a space picture for you there. He's really saying is God has made all these things, created everything, and well, if you need help, it's good to have someone who's got the power to do it, isn't it? He's the kind of help that he can provide for us easily, all-sufficient God. Right, so next one. He will not let your foot slip. Well, are you prone to accidents? Some are more prone than others, I suspect, yes. But there's dangers out there, aren't there? There's temptations for us. I mean, that's the type of thing. It's not just walking slipping he's talking about, but slipping in terms of the dangers we can fall into, the danger and harm that we may come to. And the Lord, he says there, the Lord won't let your foot slip. He'll protect us from really doing major damage, I guess. He's our sure protector. And I'd just like us to be thankful, really, this morning, because often the things that God does for us in protecting us, we're not really aware of at the time, are we? I mean, you know, God keeps you out of trouble, and it's only later on you look back and think, oh, Lord, what would have happened if I'd have done whatever I was trying to do, you know? I have several instances in my life I can look back now where the Lord saved me from getting myself killed. And it wasn't because I was so clever. It's because the Lord was protecting us. So he says he won't let your foot slip. He's there to guard and protect us. And then we're told this. It's an interesting little bit, this. He who watches over you. From this verse on, we keep getting the same word turning up. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's talking about that word watching. It's God provides 24/7 protection. And that key word, watching, turns up in the last six verses, a verse six times. And the word means to guard. I've got the guard for you. To guard means to sort of protect, you know, and watch over, that type of thing. But it's more than guarding. The word's a keeper. Some of the translation says, he who keeps Israel, who keeps you. And the idea of a keeper, I've got a zookeeper there. You know, a zookeeper isn't there to guard the animals in that sense, is he? He's there to look after them, and to provide for them, and protect them, and feed them, and so on. That's the word. God is our protector, he's our guard, he's watching over us. And good to have someone who's... Well, are you worried that God is on your case? You know, that he's watching you? You shouldn't be. You should be glad that's the case. So let's see what he says. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Well, why doesn't God sleep? There's a thought for you. Why doesn't God sleep? Well, because he doesn't need to. That's the simple answer, of course. He's a God that's always active. What's he going to be like when we get to heaven? Do you think he'll need to sleep there? I don't think so. Because we'll be a different way of living, won't it? But I put him there. Remember Elijah, when he was having a confrontation with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, he let them have the go first to call down fire from their god Baal. And, of course, they were jumping around and shouting and doing all that sort of stuff, and nothing happened, because Baal isn't there. But Elijah taunts him. He says, perhaps he's gone to sleep. You need to shout louder. Their God can sleep. Well, your God, he doesn't sleep. He cares for us, and he's awake all the time. And there may be a difference between slumber and sleeping. I mean, they may mean the same thing, but different words. The difference perhaps between slumber and sleeping is, slumbering is just sort of just about being asleep, whereas the sleep is the deep type of sleep. You know, God's on alert all the time anyway. That's the point he's making. And the other is that he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God's got a special people that he's looking for. It's his people Israel. But you're part of that if you come to him through Jesus, of course. So you're in the family, and he's there watching over us. It's fantastic. The Lord watches over you. Now, the interesting thing, he's just said, the Lord watches over Israel, and now he says, the Lord watches over you. And the point he's making is, as God watches over the nation, the flock you could say, is also watching over the individual sheep too. You're a sheep, did you know that? Well, we're all sheep, aren't we? Yes. An individual is caring for the individual. I think that's wonderful. You know, God isn't too busy running the universe not to have time for you and me. God's able to run the detail as well as the all the general stuff as well. So the Lord watches over you. The Lord, we're told here, is the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Imagine if you were travelling during those weeks in Israel in the hot days, on a hot journey. He provides shade for us. The idea of a hot journey, life's hot spots. There are places where things get a bit difficult, aren't they? Life's hot spots. He's a protective shade during the summer heat and so on. I like it. I did think about this. It says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Why the right hand? Well, most of us are right-handed, aren't we? Are you left-handed? Well, God can look after left-handed people too. You'd be glad to know that, yes? God can look after left-handed people. But the idea is that where you need the help, he's there. He's on the job. He's in on the action. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Where you need him most, he's there for you. That's great. And then we told this, what's going to happen as a result of the Lord being our protector? The sun will not harm you by day. In the day you can see things, so it's the daytime troubles. And for them it could have been sunstroke on the journey, of course, or getting sunburnt, unless you've got your protective cream on or something like that, you know. But he's saying God will protect you from the things that happen during the times that you can see them, in times of the visible issues, when things are around you that you can see where the problems are, God's going to take care of you there. The sun won't harm you by day, and then we see the next one, nor the moon by night. Well, what's that about? Well, what's the difference between daytime and nighttime problems? Well, you can't see the nighttime ones sometimes, but they seem to be worse if you're not careful. The fears, the nightmares, the strange shadows. The idea, I think, really behind it all is this, that the nighttime can get very cold in some parts of the world, can't it? Be very hot during the day and very cold at night. So it's the cold and frosty nighttime when the temperature drops after sunset. And that's what's going on when we look in Genesis chapter 31 verse 40, Jacob is talking to his uncle, who's been following him as Jacob's left and gone off with his family. Jacob starts telling his uncle about all the nasty things that his uncle's done to him. He's saying, he had me working out during the day, I got burnt at day, and I got frozen in the night, but God kept looking after me. So Jacob could have thought about this psalm if it had been written in his day as well. And the other example of God looking after you by the day and the night is in the time of the Israel's journey in the wilderness. Remember, there was that presence of God, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It was a pillar of cloud with God's presence, the Shekinah glory. During the day, that protected them, and during the night, it guided them, the pillar of fire. So God's presence was with them day or night, because God doesn't need to go to sleep. Praise the Lord. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Right now, does that mean to say you're guaranteed that nothing's going to go wrong? Is that a guarantee? No, but anything that's going to really harm you, God will stop. What can really harm us? We've got there for a few things. Sin will harm you. It'll destroy your fellowship with the Lord. It'll mess you up, and it'll mess others up as well. Disobedience, you know, cuts you off from the ministry of the Spirit, really. And Satan's out to get you as well. So we're in a bit of a dangerous place. The Lord will keep you from harm. And I put down there, it is finished. Jesus, what Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, is the ultimate guarantee that we will be kept from anything that will really, ultimately, harm us. As we trust in him, we are protected. I'm quoting Peter here. Peter quotes that lovely verse from Isaiah, 1 Peter chapter 2. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And Peter's talking about by his wounds you're healed. Healed from sin is really what he's talking about there. But of course, God ministers in our bodies as well, praise the Lord. But I'm sure you're aware of this. Our bodies are wearing out a bit, aren't they? Getting a bit on as we go in the years. But he's promised to help us now. But the ultimate deliverance is when death is defeated and we have our resurrection bodies. He will indeed keep us from all harm. Praise the Lord. And then we're told he'll watch over your life. I hope you don't think this is an insensitive comparison, but our Lord is our PPE. You know what PPE is now, don't you? Yes? Well, he's our present peace envelope. He surrounds us with his peace in the middle of all the things that are happening. And it's a quote from Psalm 3 there. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. There's another psalm, isn't there? It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. So the Lord's your personal protection. It's good to have, eh? But it doesn't mean to be stupid. You know, you to take care of what God's given you. But he's there to watch over your life. Praise the Lord for that. The Lord will watch over your coming and going. Well, the psalmist is actually quoting the Bible there. He's quoting from Deuteronomy 28 verse 6. I'll just read that to you. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Wow, there you are. So going out, what kind of going out? Well, you go to work, when working's working. For service, to serve the Lord, we go out in things that call us in life's demands of some sort or other. And then we come home to rest, to restoration, coming home into his presence. God's going to say he'll be with us when we go in and when we go out. Praise the Lord. I've just written there, there's a little picture at the bottom there. It's a mezuzah. The Jewish people put this into literal practice as they followed a promise of God in Deuteronomy. They put these things called mezuzahs at their door. They contain a small copy of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll just read the verses to you. They're very famous. They're perhaps the most famous verses to the Jewish people in the Bible. These are verse 4 to 6. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And then verse 9 says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So it's a reminder when they came in and went out. Have you got something near your door? We have a little plaque near the door with a verse on it. Just as a reminder as you go in and out, you know. The Lord is there for you as you go out. You can call on his help, and he's there to look after you when you come home as well. Good to do. Now then, it says here that the Lord will look after you both now and forevermore. Well, God's the God of the past. Has he cared for you in the past? Yes? He's cared for you in the past. Good. And he's a present God, a God who's now for us. He cares for us now. And I just want to encourage you, thank him as well in the now, yeah? And he's a future God. The way that it's phrased in the psalm there, he says, he's both now and to the age, unto the age to come. That's how they translate forevermore, as they translate it like that. He's there for us into the age to come, into the future. So the question is, are you trusting him? I hope you are. And then finally, my last one is, to quote the psalm again, I lift my eyes to the hills or to the mountains. That's where the Lord reigns, and we're to look to him. So, are you looking forward on the journey? I hope you are. We all need to, don't we? Trust the Lord. So let's just pray, and then we'll sing a song just to close in, eh? Lord, thank you for your promises that you say you'll be with us all the way through the journey. Through the dark places and the hot places, Lord, you're there with us. And thank you for fellowship that we can sing our song together to worship you, the living God. But thank you, Lord, while you're watching over your people, Israel, Lord, we thank you you're watching over individual sheep who are part of that people as well. And thank you for the privilege of being able to belong to you, through faith in Jesus. We just bless you for this day, Lord, and pray you'll guard and keep us this day, and that we may, as we draw to the close of the day, as we come in, Lord, to be able to say thank you for your mercies to us, and look forward to your keeping grace all the time. Bless us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you know this one, don't you? I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide, he'll show the way. God, things don't just happen, everything by Him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give Him my all. I do not know what life things don't just happen, everything by Him is planned.